Would you turn your Bibles with me to Jonah's book, Book of Jonah, that comes after Obadiah and before Micah. Jonah chapter 1. Most of us know the story of Jonah. He was a prophet called by God. And God gave him a commission. He told him in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Here Nineveh is called a great city. And there is another city called a great city. Can any young people say Babylon the Great? Yeah, this was also another great city like Babylon. Both of them were in the Babylonian kingdom, that is today's Iraq. And today what we call place called Mosul is in the place of Nineveh. So that is the place where God wanted Jonah to go and preach the gospel. But verse 3 it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Young people, can you tell me somebody who also went away from the presence of the Lord? That's Cain. When Cain sinned and God asked him, "Where is Abel?" he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he had a bit of conversation with God, the Father, and then it says he went away from the presence of the Lord. And this is another case where a prophet, Cain was a murderer, whereas here a prophet, he flees away from the presence of the Lord. You read that in chapter 1, verse 3, the beginning and the end again. From the presence of the Lord, he went away. And verse 10 again, last part of it. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. We read it 3 times. This man is running away from the presence of the Lord. For what reason? God told him to go and preach to that great city Nineveh. And this man, he says, he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, that was a harbor, found a ship which was going to Tarshish. Tarshish, by the way, they say is in southern Spain, today's southern Spain. That's about 2,500 miles away from Israel. And Nineveh was about 600 miles to the east of Israel. And Spain is to the west of Israel. Instead of going to the east of Israel, to Nineveh, he fled in the opposite direction, 2,500 miles. He wanted to go away from the presence of the Lord. Can anyone go away from the presence of the Lord? The psalmist says in Psalm 139, "Lord, where can I hide from your presence?" He says, "The Lord our God inhabits eternity." Eternity is like, just to give you a picture, it's a huge thing. Eternity. There's no end and no beginning to that. And we live in a place called Earth, and we live in time. Time has a beginning and the end. And the one who is in eternity sees the end from the beginning. And this is planet Earth, a small speck of dust before God. And Jonah thinks that he can hide away from God and run away from the presence of the Lord. What a foolish thought it is for a prophet to think that he can run away from the presence of the Lord. And he ran away, thinking that God cannot see him. And he said, it says here that he went, he bought a ticket. This man had money to buy a ticket. If he didn't have money, probably he would have stayed there. The story would have been different. But because he had money, he was able to afford it. And he bought a ticket, and then he boarded and embarked on this ship and went. And verse 4 it says, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And the sailors became afraid. Verse 5, every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down, and fallen sound asleep. You see, a man disobeys God and he sleeps soundly. How is it? Doesn't he have a conscience to bother him that he's running away from God? He's disobeying God, and then he's going down and down and down. He goes down to the ship, into the hold of the ship, and lies down there, and he has fallen sound asleep, it says. This is mark of a backslider. A backslider has no conscience. His conscience has been seared, has been hardened, and no amount of exhortation, no amount of messages will shake him up, because he has sunk to such a depth that even God's word, which is sharper than two-edged sword, which is like a hammer that shatters the rock, it says, it's like fire, cannot touch such people. The word of God, God has given us many commandments, and we disobey them, and we think we can get away with it. For instance, God said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And many young people think that they can marry someone whom they love and they like, and they say, okay, after marriage, I'll bring him or her to church. She'll change, or he will change. That's folly. The word of God says, how do you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, that you can save your husband or your wife? It's not going to happen. You have seen in front of your eyes people suffering because of that. They made a bad choice. This is second most important choice a person can do, only after deciding to follow Jesus, to marry someone in the faith. Marry someone who is not in the faith, and you get unequally yoked, you will suffer the consequences. The Bible also says that after you get married, you have to leave your father and mother and cling to your wife. But rather, many men or women also, after they get married, they cling on to their parents. Brother, if you're that kind of person, latching onto your mommy's apron string, you're disobeying God. God doesn't want your parents to rule over you. You're an adult, you're getting married, and you're going to have children, and you still want to be a child to your parents, to be guided and led by them. Haven't you grown up in these last 25, 30 years? Are you not able to take decisions on your own? If you are in difficulty and you are in doubt, by all means you can consult your parents, because they have more experience, but don't you ever let them control you and tell you what to do. The word of God is clear. Leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. And God has given many such commandments. God's word says, be content with your wages. And many people are not content. They want to run here and run there, take up this job, that job, and suffer consequences. Run to this country and that country, and then come back being disappointed, having lost their job, kicked out from there. Why can't you remain in the place where God wants you to be? And the Bible also says, be faithful to your spouse. And some of you young people who are working in corporate offices, every day you mix with the opposite sex. You have tendency to, you know, let your affections move towards them apart from your life partner. That's not God's will. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter says, live in an understanding way with your life partner, that's with your wife, knowing that she is a weaker vessel, and live as a joint heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And any of you playing the fool in your private life against your wife, and you're praying to God for this, that, and the other, I'll tell you, on the basis of God's word, you might as well not pray, because your prayers will not be heard. The Bible says that, so that your prayers may not be hindered. If you are unfaithful to your life partner, please stop praying. It's a waste of time. Go and do something else. Your prayers will not be heard. That's God's word. So this man disobeyed God and went away, fell sound asleep, and you know what happened. The captain approached him and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call on your God, perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. It's captain, a heathen man. And each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lot and it fell to Jonah. And verse 8, they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What's your occupation, and where do you come from, and where's your country, and what people you're from? They made an inquiry of this man, and he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? A heathen captain or heathen people rebuking a prophet of the true living God, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Again that verse. Because of what he had told them. He had told them that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because the Lord had told him to go to Nineveh, and he is running in the opposite direction, away from God. And so they said to him, what should we do to you that the same sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And you know what is the response of this man? Instead of humbling himself and saying, please give me some time, I'll go before God, I will confess my sin, I will repent, and I'll tell God that I'll go back to Nineveh. If he had done that, probably, in all likelihood, God would have heard his prayer and stopped that calamity, and he could have gone back and preached the good news there in Nineveh. But no, his heart is still hardened. You know what he says? Verse 12, he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. See, he would rather die in the sea being drowned than obey God and escape this punishment and death. He would rather die than obey God. And the sea will become calm for you. And I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. And these people had some sense. He didn't listen to him immediately. They say, however, verse 12, they rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. And then they called on to the Lord and said, they are now praying to the true living God of Jonah. They're asking him, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood upon us, for thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased. So they picked him up and threw him into the sea, and the storm subsided. And then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the living God and made vows. They got converted. They changed. They believed in the true living God because of this man. And because this man didn't repent, and he had asked them to throw him in the sea, they did just that and they were saved. And this guy went into the depth of the sea. And then verse 17, it says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. It's not just one day, not just for a few hours. For 3 days and three nights, a man stayed in the stomach of a big fish, a whale. Just imagine that, how he must have felt those 3 days. The fish may have swallowed a lot of small fishes, crabs and so many things, crustaceans. And they may have been biting this guy inside the stomach of the fish. And this guy may be going up and down for gasping for breath. As the fish is going up and down in a roller coaster, he is tossed inside the belly of the fish, going round and round, and probably like in a washing machine. He is there in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights, gastric juices being sprayed all around him, and he is not being digested. He has become an indigestible thing in the heart, in the stomach of the fish. And 3 days and three nights he's swimming up and down and up and down. How long you can swim? There is a limit to a man's strength. Then afterwards he gives up. Even the best swimmers in the world can be drowned if no timely help is given to them. And this man was desperate. Verse 5, he says in chapter 2, water encompassed me to the point of death, and the great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Probably the fish must have swallowed some seaweed, and that may have gone around him, around his head. He's in such a discomfort, the situation where he is, that stink in the stomach of the fish and these small fishes biting and chewing him up, and crabs also perhaps, and this dirty smell and weeds around him, he is likely to go down. And then it says here, verse 7, or rather verse 3, in the middle part, it says, The earth with its bars was around me forever. These 3 days looked like eternity to this man. He says, it was around me forever. The word forever indicates eternity. He felt like he was going to spend his time there. These 3 days felt like he was in eternity. And then verse 7, when he was coming to the end of his hoarded resources, end of his strength, he swam and swam and swam and lost all his gas, strength, and now it was time for him to sink back down into the depths of the fish's belly. Then it says, I remember the Lord. See, only when we come to the end of ourselves, most people come to the Lord. They remember. When they are laid on the bed of sickness, they look up. Like there is a saying in the world, as a last resort, people go to God and pray to Him. Why don't you go to Him in the first place? Why should you wait until it is our last resort? Don't you wait till the last resort. Then I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to Thee into Thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to Thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. What did he vow to the Lord? What vow did he make? It's not written here, but obviously he has made a vow in the belly of the fish. That, Lord, if you get me from here, I will go back to Nineveh. He must have vowed it. That's why the Lord said, okay. Then he says, he starts praising the Lord. And Psalm 22 verse 3, it says, Thou who dwellest on the praises of Thy people. When you praise God, you are making a throne for Him. When Jonah started praising the Lord's presence came there. And the Lord, and he was also humble enough to acknowledge salvation is from the Lord. In the last part of verse 9. When he recognized that and said, salvation is from the Lord commanded the fish and it came to the dry land and vomited him out. And then the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah, verse 2 of chapter 3. The Lord says the same thing, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim the proclamation which I am going to tell you. And now this man has learnt a lesson and he goes to Nineveh. It says Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Historians say that Nineveh was about 60 miles in circumference. 60 miles. It's nearly 100 kilometers, 96 kilometers. And it is said that Nineveh had walls around the city as high as 100 feet tall walls, as thick as 3 chariots could go abreast at a time. So wide was the walls of Nineveh. And this man went and he started preaching there. He started saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 days, Nineveh, is your time. Your time is up. Your iniquity has come up before the Lord. Like the Lord said in verse 2 of chapter 1. Their iniquity, their wickedness has come up before me. went and spoke to them, "Your iniquity has come up before the Lord, and in the next 40 days, your city is going to be overthrown and destroyed." And the word reached the king of Nineveh. And this man was a foreigner, someone who came from a small place, not from a great city like Nineveh. They could have easily, you know, rejected what this guy is telling, a mad fellow or something like that, like some people despise. And some prophets were despised like that because they spoke the word. But this king humbled himself when the word reached the ear of the king of Nineveh. It says in verse 6, when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing." I don't know why he included the animals. And he covered himself with sackcloth and sat on the ashes. And don't let them eat anything or drink any water. And both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. And the Lord took notice of that. And when the Lord observed that from the king to the least, including the beasts, they went into a fast and repented, the Lord changed his mind. He relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do so. It's very interesting to know that such a wicked city as Nineveh, when they repented, God also relented. He felt sorry. He said, "Okay, I'm going to change my mind." This was the reason why Jonah ran away. He knew that God is a merciful God. You read that in chapter 4. Verse 1 it says, but, you know, when God did not bring destruction and calamity on Nineveh, it says it greatly displeased Jonah and he became angry. This man Jonah, he had a different spirit altogether. Instead of rejoicing that the whole city got converted because of his preaching, and they turned to God and changed their mind and they gave up their wicked ways and decided to follow the Lord, instead of rejoicing, there is a verse in the New Testament where Jesus said, "There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." And here is a whole city of probably 1 million people living in that city. It says there were about 120,000 infants who didn't know the difference between their left hand and right hand. It is normally the children below 5 years who don't know which shoe to wear, the left shoe or the right shoe. Sometimes they wear the left shoe on the right foot and the other way around. So it could be small children below 5 years, 120,000 children, and probably 1 million people must be living there, 10 lakh. But it displeased Jonah that God averted that disaster. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was this not the reason what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. Now you know the reason why he ran away from Tarshish. He says, I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me. Death is better to me than life. Look at the spirit of this man. He is called a prophet of God. Still God loves such people. Instead of rejoicing, he says, Lord, you have stopped the calamity on Nineveh. You have saved all these people. What do they think of me? They think I am a false prophet because I prophesied that they are going to be overthrown in 40 days and you changed your mind and they think that I'm a fake. That was his concern. He cared for his reputation more than the souls of men there in Nineveh. This was the reason, Lord, I ran away from you. No, I would rather die, he says. Kill me. Death is better to me. Again in verse 8, last part, he says, death is better to me than life. Imagine a man speaking to God like that. Like Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Do you want me to keep a tab on my brother, where he goes, where he comes? And you're asking me, where is Abel? And he went away from the presence of the Lord. And this man went away from the presence of the Lord. Not only that, even after he repented and he came back and the Lord averted the calamity, now again he asks for death. He says, I better die. I don't want to bear this reproach of people telling me that I am a false prophet because you withheld your judgment. Oh boy, what kind of a man he is. And this says, I mean, when we look at the spirit of Jonah, we can think of two people. One in the Old Testament, you can turn with me, I'll close with this. These two verses in the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. Book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. This is a situation where the Israelites were so disobedient to God and he provoked him to anger 10 times. And the Lord got so thoroughly fed up with the people of Israel, he wanted to finish them off. And he told Moses, Moses, I am going to start a new generation from you. I am going to finish them all off. But you know what? Moses said, look at the spirit of Moses. But now, Lord, if thou wilt not forgive their sins, please blot me out from the book which thou hast written. Lord, if you don't forgive these Israelites whom you have brought with great might from Egypt, if you're not going to be merciful to them and forgive their sins, please blot out my name from the book of the living. He risked his life for the sake of the Israelites, fellow Israelites. He said, Lord, I would rather have them with you and me being blotted out from the book of life. I'm willing to go to hell if only you can save them. That was his spirit. The same spirit we see in the Apostle Paul also in Romans chapter 9 verse 3. Romans chapter 9 verse 3. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about the disobedience of Israel. And he says there was a partial disobedience in Israel because God wanted Gentiles to be brought into the kingdom of God. And he says there is a great sorrow, verse 2. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart for my fellow kinsmen, the Israelites. For I wish I myself could be accursed. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Israelites. This man and Moses, they had a similar spirit. They had the spirit of Christ. Jesus said, I would rather die than see these people go to hell. I would rather take their place and be, make an atonement for them, be a sacrifice for them, so that by repenting and believing in me, they might inherit God's kingdom. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. That was the essence of the spirit of Jesus Christ and the spirit of Moses and Paul. They would rather risk their life for the sake of other people. But this man had a different spirit. And then it's interesting to know that the book of Jonah begins with the name Jonah and ends with the word animals. There's a verse in Psalm 73. And lastly, we can see that verse. We can become like animals if we lose that sensitivity, what we had. Psalms 73, verse 22. It says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. When we don't have a proper perspective of God and his heart, his thoughts, his plans for us and for others, his compassion and mercy, when we don't have a proper perspective, understanding of God and his heart, we become like beasts, senseless and ignorant before him. That's why God wants us to know him. For all shall know me, from the greatest to the least, the Lord says. So let us press on to know the Lord. Let us prepare ourselves to know what God has for us. And some of us, because of our disobedience, we may still be crawling in the fish's belly, trying to get out of that, seeing no light, thick darkness there. You were there in the fish's belly 20 years back. You're still there, the same person, unchanged, even now. And there is no guarantee that in the next 20 years, you'll be any better. Brother, sister, come out of the fish's belly. Repent. Let the Lord command the fish to throw you out on a dry land, that you may wash yourself and come out clean and obey the Lord. Don't remain in the fish's belly forever. Some of you are unfortunately living there. There is no change in you. There is no growth in you. You're stagnant. And your conscience doesn't prick you anymore. You go soundly asleep with all your dirty thoughts, with all disobedience, unforgiving attitude, and impure mind, and all that. You're still trying to see light at the end of the tunnel, but the fish's mouth is closed. You won't see any light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light for you. There is no light for the wicked, it says. The light of the wicked will be put out. Proverbs says, repent. If you repent, God will be a light to you. And he will give you life. Repent, come back, and live in the fullness of God that he has for you. Amen.
Praise the Lord for what we heard. When we apply ourselves in the place of Jonah, we can learn life lessons for ourselves. The first verse which says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It's the greatest privilege on earth when a man gets a word from the Lord. Like I and you have got the word of the Lord to repent and believe and be saved. We were not better than Jonah at that time. The Lord had mercy on us to repent and believe. And there was a purpose even in Jonah's life also. But what happened with him? His heart was hardened. He could not accept that word. It says in Hebrews 3, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The Lord is concerned about our heart. As we heard at the end, why we get stuck in the belly of a fish. Spiritually, some circumstances, some defeat, nothing goes right, we are struggling, failing, we get stuck. That's what happened with Jonah. But what I see is the heart of God toward Jonah. The Lord was so much concerned about those people who may be sighing or groaning in their heart. God had heard their voices in Nineveh. So the Lord wanted to send this prophet, and he was concerned. I can think of Moses also. The Lord heard the cry of the people in Egypt, and the Lord wanted to send Moses. The Lord was preparing. I think if we have heard Brother Zach's explaining many times that the Lord wanted to bring them out by 400 years, but it took 430 years. Because Moses was not ready by 10 years, it took extra 30 years. So that is what I see, the Lord's compassionate heart toward his people who are crying out to him, who are captives. That's why, brothers and sisters, I take it to my own heart. The Lord has somebody in his heart to help them, maybe through me and you. But he wants to set us free first. He wants to speak to us and set us free from our situation. He wants us to respond to him. But we may get stuck because we have our own prejudice. We want to seek the Lord always on a condition. Lord, if you do like this, I'll accept this. That is where we get into problem. We want the Lord, accept the Lord in our condition. That is where the problem came to Jonah. Jonah said, no, I don't like this. We need to get out of that. When we put condition to God, if it is like this, I will go. If it is not like this, I will not go. That is what happened to Jonah. That's what I see here. When we come to waters of baptism, this is what we testified. Said, Lord, I go into the waters and surrender myself completely. No conditions. You do whatever you want. If we see the scriptures, those who have given up their own life and accepted whatever the circumstances, situation, life God had given, such people have been an instrument in doing God's will and releasing the captives. That, like we think of Joseph, he, even though he was in the jail, he accepted that. And he didn't have any grumbling, complaining spirit. And he accepted that situation. That's why God was with him. But here, Jonah said, no, I will not accept this. I want like this. I don't want this situation. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want my reputation to be affected. So that's what we see in Joseph's life. Joseph accepted. He gave himself He was rejoicing in the Lord. He was happy that God was with him. And he was ready to go down, misunderstood, ill-treated, whatever it is, he took it. That's what we see in David's life also. David was also, he was maybe neglected, and he was sent to take care of sheep. But he accepted. God was with him. He was just happy in the Lord. And that's what we see in the life of Jesus also. That Jesus, he never had any condition. And he accepted. That's why God was with him all the time. And ultimately when we see Joseph, David, Jesus' life, they ended up releasing the captives. We read in Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good and releasing the captives. And God was with him. That's what we can learn. And that's what I want to take it to my heart. I don't want to harden my heart when I hear his voice. And also we read in verse 17, chapter 1. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then the next verse which says, then Jonah prayed. As we were hearing, it is quite possible that we accept our defeat, our failures, and remain there even without praying. It's quite possible. Because we don't want to seek help from anybody. Like somebody going to hospital, I don't like the doctor, I don't like this, I don't like that. He's sick, but he sits in one place and he doesn't like many things and he comes out. But what happens? He remains sick. And that can happen to us. We can come to church and we have our own path, our own way. That I come here through this gate and sit in this particular seat and meet this particular people and go away. And go back sick. That is where, that is our belly, fish's belly. And we are sick, we come and we remain in that place. And like we hear about when the storm was there, he was in sound sleep. So there may be a storm in my own personal life. There is a cry inside, but I am hesitant or feel difficult to go and seek help from somebody. Maybe I don't like this brother may say something like this to me. So we have to break free from that. And there may be storm in the home, but still we sleep, sound sleep. And we may have storm in the workplace. But all these things the Lord is telling, just repent and go and seek help. And then he prayed. But Lord was not happy. When he prayed, maybe he had his own prejudice. Lord, you do like this. If you do like this, if this condition you give me, then I will do this. Maybe that went on. Like we heard that we made a vow. Finally, he had to make a vow. And in verse 9, we see that, I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He vowed. That is what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We must come back to God and say, Lord, just, I want to live by your voice. Just tell me what to do. I will do it. I want to get out of this fish's belly. I will not put any condition. And that is when, see, he gave thanksgiving, that sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. It is not a mantra. I was thinking, oh, I'll keep saying, praise the Lord, Lord will deliver me. No, it doesn't work. The praise is not words. It's an attitude. It is an attitude that saying, Lord, I just surrender my whole life into your hand. Whatever circumstances you give me, whatever you do with me, I'll give it to you. That is what we testify in the baptism also. Lord, I give it to you. And you do whatever you want to do. That is where we come out of the belly of the fish. That's why we are stuck. We are not able to surrender and say, Lord, you do whatever. You tell me to go and meet that brother. I don't know what he says, but I will seek help. I am ready to be corrected. I am ready to be admonished. Whatever it is. Lord, I want to get well. Like we go to hospital when we are really sick. Then we don't have any condition. We go and get admitted. At their mercy, we get admitted. They can inject any time. They can take blood. They can do operate or whatever. On their condition, we get admitted. That is full surrender. Then the doctor can do a proper treatment. I don't have control over myself. See, that is what, that is that. Then only the healing takes place. We need to come to that place of surrender. And we need to get rid of this heart, hardened heart. Like we read in Ezekiel 36, the new heart I'll give you, and remove the heart of stone. We must allow God to do a heart surgery and remove that heart of stone. And we have to get that heart of flesh, which doesn't have any condition, rules, regulation, dignity. No, I want to be treated like this. Otherwise, I don't come to church. There are so many who got offended with small corrections and left. And they are not willing to surrender to any correction. They don't want to be accountable. That's what happens, brothers and sisters. With the Lord, we need to come and say, Lord, I want to get out of this. I want to be saved. See, ultimately the purpose is when we are out of this belly, the fish's belly, or with the captivity which we are in, the Lord will help us to help others. The Lord has people who are in captivity. Lord is thinking about them. That's why He wants us to fill us with His Holy Spirit and help us to help others. That's what we see in the life of Jesus, life of Paul and Peter. They didn't have any condition. They were ready to go through anything. Even Paul prayed 3 times, maybe sickness to go. But the Lord said, no, I will not heal you, but I will give you grace. Paul said, fine, Lord. You don't heal me, fine. I will have a reputation that I am not healed. That's fine, but I want your grace. I don't put any condition. If you heal me, then only I will serve you. No, he didn't put that condition. May the Lord help us that we surrender completely, we get rid of this heart of stone, and so that we can come out of this fish's belly, the circumstances, situation we are struggling, so that we will serve the Lord in a better way. Amen.